Hello. Here we are today, and first of all, I want to say prayers goes out to those who was victims in the Baltimore bridge collapse. What I want to discuss is who should be responsible financially for the damage that this bridge collapse has caused on the victim side, as well as the rebuilding of the bridge, the damage obviously to the ship, you know, to all the way to the cleaning of the, you know, of all the wreckage that was left behind. And a lot of people seem to think that insurance companies and the company that was actually involved in hitting the bridge should be responsible. I am personally in agreement with that. The reason being is that, and this is why I say that, like, truck drivers are always blamed for everything, and they're held responsible, they're held liable for everything. And even if it's not their fault, they're always trying to find a fault in a truck driver in the event that something goes wrong. I'm not saying truck drivers are not at fault a lot of times, but I'm just saying it appears that there's times where you could argue that it probably wasn't the truck driver's fault. However, they will try to divert the fault to the truck driver somehow. Again, going back to the gentleman that was involved in the truck accident, and you know, the 23-year-old guy, and they tried to give this guy 105 years. And he actually had nothing in his system. Now, the reason why I say that is because it seems like even with, you know, testing, it seems like, you know, there's like a small percentage of individuals who choose to do, you know, not a small percentage, but I'm saying the percentage compared to the amount of drivers that are actually driving in the industry, a lot of them have the target appears to be, it's on everything, but it affects mostly everyone, the majority of the people that obviously who engage in marijuana. Now, let's just say that the rules was changed, and I don't know if this is due to the amount of accidents that occur with truck drivers over ships. However, it should not matter. I feel that, you know, and plus, you know, insurance companies, they obviously have the option to raise the rates on companies and truck drivers who may test positive. But how do we prevent from what happening in Baltimore from forever, you know, from ever happening again? Now, if there was a situation where there was citations on this cargo vessel, then wouldn't that put the blame on the company? I mean, should that vessel have been out there at the time? And what is the purpose of them actually having insurance? And I'm sure they do, if the insurance company is not going to be liable. Should federal tax dollars, you know, taxpayers money should be going towards the repairing of this bridge, which obviously is gonna be some time down the line before they actually get this bridge repaired due to all the extensive damage and all of the engineering thought process that's going to go into doing, as well as getting people out there to begin the construction of this bridge. It's going to be a lot of work involved, and it's obviously, you know, going to hurt the economy in a lot of ways. I don't doubt that one bit, because there's a lot of vehicles that travel back and forth, particularly freight trucks, as far as you know, moving goods and stuff back and forth. But when we talk about, it's not like, you know, that wasn't a possibility, because then I think it was in Arkansas, another boat, you know, hit a bridge. No one was obviously hurt in that situation. But just knowing that that just occurred right after we just had a fatal bridge situation, I would think that, you know, the responsibility of insurance companies and the company who is directly involved would be responsible because just like in any other field, particularly with the trucking industry. And again, I like to talk about these issues because I feel like truck drivers are always held to a higher standard than a police officer in a lot of situations. They could, and the reason, and when you look at, like, you know, the reason behind this clearinghouse is it was not to stop drivers from getting in accidents. It was not to stop drivers from getting, it wasn't a situation that was brought upon because you had multiple drivers getting in accidents due to marijuana. It was brought on so that you wouldn't have drivers going from one company to another when actually dropping dirty at the initial on a pre-employment. So what they've done was they put this in place to stop that. It wasn't mainly because of accidents. There was no large statistics that states or shows that drivers that was involved in accidents were, you know, were under the influence, or even, you know, were, you know, just was intoxicated by marijuana during the times of their dirty urine tests. So, you know, I look at this as such a biased situation, and a lot of people can say, you know, don't do this, we shouldn't do that while you're, you know, driving and all of that, and I totally agree. But my argument is just not laying down and just allowing people to tell you anything and we go for it, you know, and just say, oh, this is the reason why. And you got so many drivers that are out now due to this situation. And now you got drivers who ultimately, if they don't start the return to duty process, they license are reduced down to a operator license in the future. And again, I wouldn't suggest any driver to go and start this SAP program just to force and put money into these SAP programs, because, and the reason why I say that is because particularly for someone who is going to be on this thing for, you know, because you could be on this thing potentially 2-3 years, you know, or max of a minimum a year. But the thing about it is that I look at it because there is no fix. There is no resolution to a person going and doing it. It's a start in the right direction. However, you still are highly criticized, and you're for even having a dirty drop. It's almost like you're crucified for that when you haven't even been in an accident, and this was not. And then the thing about it, companies take advantage. Companies are taking advantage. It's pushing drivers in a situation where they don't even have any options for something that really should, when there was really no real issue from the beginning in which this situation has started, other than the fact that they were dirty and they could possibly wait till they're actually clean and go somewhere else and get employment. It wasn't because you had this substantial amount of accidents due to marijuana. Now, and I just think when I look at this situation, I look at it like marijuana is just being targeted. And again, I agree when people say, hey, if you want to be in this industry, just, you know, you shouldn't smoke marijuana. So it's not like no one is complaining about the issue. But my issue is the bias is in it, and the statistical numbers that are involved in it, and the hypocrisy that is involved in it. And you basically cater everything to around the notion of making things safe. Now, if there was a substantial amount of situations that involved marijuana, okay, I would probably say, okay, yeah. But, and then on top of the fact that you do not have, you know, these engine shutdown breathalyzer tests for alcohol in trucks. You don't have these devices in trucks as of now. Like, so when we talk about mandating something and trying to stop something, look, I look at it like any other accident, or if any accident has ever been caused, if any accident has ever been caused by alcohol in a truck, in a semi, in which I'm sure of, because I personally am aware of an individual who was involved in an accident. There was a death, and it was related to alcohol. But those breathalyzer tests, and there has been many others, those breathalyzer tests have not been actually up to this date. And this situation occurred some years back. Those breathalyzer tests have not been put in semis. Because again, at that point, you're going to get guys who are going to be stuck in potential states because of the, you know, because guys are going to actually do it. They're going to do it. That's just the reality of it. And again, you got guys, you know, but alcohol has been accepted by a lot of people, even though you shouldn't do it, is something that you can still do on your off time. They are completely aware of the gap in which alcohol remains in your system versus marijuana. So to deal with that issue, you know, you would have breathalyzers in these trucks, and I don't see no insurance company who is pushing this issue is either. I'm sure that it'll be pretty soon, but I don't see insurance companies pushing the issue for semi trucks versus for them to have these in semi trucks as much as they push the issue on. We will raise your costs on anybody who is obviously tested positive for any type of, you know, drug. In this case, the you know, it's over 50% for just marijuana. But for insurance companies to close that gap in room for error, you would have breathalyzer tests as mandated in every single truck. And I guarantee you, again, and I've said this before, you're going to have so many more drivers out of a job. Just like, you know, now there's a small percentage of drivers when you look at the chart that are out for alcohol that are in this clearinghouse. Then I think some of it may be opioids and, you know, maybe a variety of other drugs, cocaine. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have it in front of me. And, you know, fentanyl, perhaps maybe meth. I'm not. But it was, but there was a, but the overwhelming amount of data, it was mostly marijuana. So, and I, again, I've said that you're going to have trucks that are going to be, the minute a truck driver get in the truck, and he cannot start his vehicle from perhaps drinking, you know, at that moment, he is ineligible as far as the clearinghouse to even move that truck. Completely ineligible to move that truck, meaning the company will have to, you know, arrange to get that truck from wherever this driver is at, get that load delivered if he got one, or the next load covered, or perhaps, and as well as try to get that driver home. I guess that might be just too much of an inconvenience for them, but at the cost of safety, wouldn't that be something the insurance company would mandate if they're going to target people who did something 2-3 weeks prior at home? I mean, this is a legitimate argument. Like, really, this is a legitimate argument. This is not to, if you're going to do it and your main purpose is to stop something from occurring, it's almost like it was predicted before it even occurred, because a lot of this is not, I guarantee you, if you had drivers who didn't go in on a pre-employment, or possibly didn't go and they have a random at a job, or wasn't able to go, just go to another job based on how long marijuana lingers in their system, this clearinghouse most likely would not be in effect at all as of now. I don't believe it would be in effect as of now. And again, we're not talking, most of these guys have clean driving records. Most of these guys are good drivers. You know, you have more drivers out for marijuana than you probably have accidents that was even related to marijuana. And that's why, again, I've always pushed and urged everyone on 420 to park their trucks. And I agree. I just feel like, you know, I wouldn't suggest anybody to do anything unsafe. However, I do believe that people have a legitimate argument. insurance companies should say, well, you know what? Since insurance companies are the ones who are pulling all the strings on everything, they should say, hey, you know what? We cannot insure no truck or your company. If you got freight, we cannot insure unless you have these breathalyzer devices in the truck. Because the very next time that there is an accident relating to alcohol, I'm sure this will come up. It's not like they don't know. It's not like they're not aware. It's not like that they don't know that drivers get in the truck and drive semis and stuff while intoxicated or keep a six-pack in the back of the truck. Because what you're ultimately doing is okaying it for someone to have six-pack in their truck, but you're saying that we won't insure you or we're going to charge you higher for someone who has smoked marijuana 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. So he's not intoxicated. However, it was found in his system. So So when it comes to like this shipwreck, this situation like that, nobody is taxpayers' dollars are not paying for truck drivers who get into trucking accidents. Those accidents are clearly on the insurance company or the company or the driver. Particularly, they like to just put it on the driver. It's not a situation where they say, oh, wow, taxpayer dollars are going to pay for all of this. You know, taxpayer dollars are going to pay for all this. Oh, just let the company off the hook. Oh, just let, you know, Don't even mention it to the insurance companies. Let's just let them off the hook. Better yet, we'll charge this bill to the taxpayers. It doesn't make sense to me. And again, this not just with this with the shipwreck, but however, even like I said before, even cops who perhaps even do anything or kill somebody in the line of duty wrongfully, they are back to work faster than someone who actually drives a truck who just tests positive on a pre-employment. I mean, like, to me, I just feel like it should be common sense. How is it that you can intentionally kill somebody wrongfully? You can intentionally wrongfully kill somebody and be back to work. And again, please don't take this as a green light to just go and do something stupid, you know, for all you trigger happy officers out there, however. But, and I'm not against policing. I'm just against bad policing. I'm not against policing. But I am against bad policing and doing things stupid and individuals being trigger happy and individuals making bad judgment calls. That individual could be back at work faster than someone who has not even been in an accident. And when I look at this, I look at like the guys who are, and SAP needs to be more honest about what is to take place and the uphill battles this one goes through. See, particularly when somebody goes through a SAP program and they do not look at it as a big deal because they have not committed anything wrong other than the fact that they dropped dirty. They haven't done anything wrong in the truck. And I totally agree that, you know, they're not fully informed by SAP that they could go back and get a job. What they'll tell you is good luck at the end of it. And you're like, good luck? What do you mean good luck? They complete the SAP. They deal everything necessary. Then all of a sudden they go back out there and they're attempting to go back to work. And, you know, won't no company touch them. And then they put a situation in place like a lot of companies won't touch them after 3 years. Like, how is all of this so possible for someone who just dropped dirty? Now they're clean. Now they went through the classes. Now they're back on track. They're fine. They didn't have a abuse situation prior to. They just, you know, they might have went somewhere, party too hard, might have seen some friends they ain't seen in years. You know what I'm saying? Might have, you know, had a couple gummies, might have went out with their girlfriend on the, I mean, again, somebody to go out with their wife on the weekend and they all of a sudden have a drink. That doesn't mean that they abused it. Alcohol is legal, but that doesn't mean that they abused it. It doesn't mean that they abuse anything just because they've used it or had it or tried it. That doesn't make them an abuse of it. So they say that they put this situation in place to say that you don't abuse. But again, just because someone chose to use, these people were functioning properly. They were functioning, paying their bills, taking care of their responsibilities, go-getters, you know what I mean? Raising children, doing all the right things. That doesn't make them incompetent to taking care of responsible, you know, situations and being responsible. That, you know, all of this, like, it just seems so much like crap that if you just tell somebody something, you just throw something out there. And a lot of times people don't think critical of these situations, but you know, there's a lot of arguments can be made as the one is not fair across the board. Two, how could you adequately say someone is abusing anything? Three, even though somebody drink alcohol on a regular basis on a weekend or have a drink when they're, you know, at home, that is not really, you know, that is not looked at as abuse. And my thing is, why is it that truck drivers are held to such a higher standard? And again, it's nothing wrong with holding truck drivers to a higher standard, but hold everybody who are traveling in any kind of way, whether it's boat, you know, whether you're in a police car and you're responsible for lives, everybody should be held to a higher standard. You know, why is the insurance targeting those situations and making things safer if that is their true intentions? Why isn't they mandating before they insure any trucking company that they have breathalyzers inside every truck? Mandate that. Why is that not like the case? Because again, like I say, if this ever comes up, if you ever get another trucking accident involving alcohol, it could have been prevented. It could have been prevented. I mean, and I think any insurance company should go for the, but see, now they want to relieve a lot of insurance companies, like the situation, like I was looking at in Georgia. You cannot directly go after an insurance company. Now, there was a bill that they presented that, you know, you cannot directly go after an insurance company involving a truck accident unless you cannot locate the truck driver. Or the company has filed bankruptcy. Like, how crazy is that? Because, like I said before, how hard would it be to find the truck driver and go after all his assets and put him in jail? You break him and then you put him in jail. Obviously, that's going to be the case. If he's not in jail, I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to find him because he's probably going to be sitting in jail for something that was out of his control. Because they're going to always try to find a out in which to blame the driver for anything that occurs. But again, it's like a truck driver has no rights. A truck driver has no rights, even involving a lot of times telling a company no for doing something that they shouldn't be doing. A company can retaliate against them. There's no major remedy for that. Yeah, he might be safe. He'd go to another company or whatever. But what about the responsibility that company has to that driver and him being safe and not doing something that he's not safe with doing, and his rights to making the decision being violated? Where is any of the the support for the driver? Yeah, he could file a lawsuit. All this stuff happens on an individual basis. But there should be databases for those type of things, for them companies that do that. Drivers should not be the only one placed in any type of database. For, you know, if it's all about safety, every liability should not just fall on a truck driver, because you give him the authority to make certain decisions. He should be able to make them decisions once he accomplished that license, and he should be able to make them decisions, not the company. So I just feel like anything that occurs involving alcohol, whether it's one, two, and you're already aware, if you want to prevent, it's not like accidents haven't occurred involving alcohol. And but yet there has not been any quick responses to breathalyzers being in trucks. But you will put marijuana drivers out of driving and deem them abusers with no proof of them actually being intoxicated during their pre-employment. There's no proof of that. The only proof is that they at one point used. There's no proof of no abuse. There's no proof of them actually being, them being intoxicated. There's not a lot of proof that accidents was related just to marijuana. I'm not saying there's no proof, but there's not a lot of proof out there to even suggest that it is highly dangerous for someone to have had it in their system to which it caused a accident. And even if they had it in their system, does not mean that it was related to an accident just because they had it in their system. And so when I look at all this, I look at it as more on an attack on a culture of people versus it being a situation that's harmful. I look at it as a attack. It's a bias attack, a prejudice, bias, discriminatory attack on a culture of people. And that comes down to just choosing to like, you know, like putting a blame on certain things versus taking the responsibility to be safe on other things, but you say this is your reason why you're taking a stance on this is because it's unsafe and insurance wants to charge people on the culture of people who choose to do marijuana. And I just think it's more of a biased situation more than anything. Again, insurance companies are the ones who's controlling this. So taxpayer dollars involving boat situations, the situation, again, my heart and prayer goes out to the people and, you know, who lost their loved ones during the Baltimore situation, bridge collapse. But again, that company had insurance. You're trying to tell me just because that they were involved in this accident, it's like insurance companies do not, their job is not to pay out anything. It appears that they want to be biased towards everything, but their job is obviously not to pay out, is nothing. You know, taxpayer dollars should not be having to cover anything. It should be the company. You know, what law they're going to come up with now to exempt the company, a shipyard company, for any type of responsibility. That would be next. The insurance company should be clearly liable for all of this. They should be responsible. There should have been probably fines for maybe that shipyard, that ship vessel, maybe it should have been out of service. Maybe, you know, if a truck driver is driving and for some reason he don't do his pre-check, or if there has been issues that have been found that was wrong with his truck, but yet he takes his truck out and something occurs while he's in that truck, they're going to look at the fact, they're going to look at the driver, and they're going to say, hey, you shouldn't have taken that vehicle out. That vehicle had some type of citations. That vehicle had issues with it. They're going to blame the driver. I don't see anything any different in this situation. You know? I mean, I really don't see anything any different. Now, one can argue, I can't say it. I don't know whether, would a ship situation be a sensitive safety function? I mean, I would, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe some can argue, yeah, no, I don't know. But if there was prior situations that was reported regarding this vessel that caused you know, the lights and the power to go out, you know, and for them to lose the ability to steer properly, that sounds like an issue relating to the company. That sounds like an issue that should be on the insurance company. That sounds like an issue that should be related to failure to do something when you are aware of something needs to be repaired. Because in any other situation involving a truck driver, that's what it would have been based around. What did the driver do? What didn't the driver do that the driver should have done? What the company do? What the company didn't do that the company should have been done or done? So I look at it like, don't make taxpayers flip that bill. That bill should be flipped on the direct source. The taxpayers didn't make any decisions on that. And they need to stop blaming, you know, this so-called DEI also situation had nothing to do with it. But again, I'm not surprised. This is the unfairness with the trucking business versus any other scenario or anybody else is out there doing a job. I mean, again, one can argue, hey, being a cop might be a safety sensitive situation. But they're back to work. And I have an issue with just all of the hypocrisy surrounding truck drivers and SAP and what the insurance company should be liable for, what the insurance company should be liable for, who the insurance companies can push, high premiums on, who they could choose not to push high premiums on. Who they can be due to who's responsible. It's like all culturally, there's so much bias and racism that plays into a lot of these decision making. Again, this is A1. Peace out. I push diversity. You hear me say that each podcast, I'm all about diversity. Not the crap that comes out, you know. So, again, peace out, everybody. Have a great one. I appreciate y'all listening to me. Again, park them trucks at 420. Make a stance. Park them trucks on 420. It's proven what y'all can do in numbers. Peace out. It's A1. Love y'all.